In fact, I should come back every time and just lecture you about something. Just
that's fine.
That'll be our niche.
That'll be our niche. along all the other niches that we have.
Yeah. That's something we haven't done. We haven't found some way to ask people for money.
Yeah. Well, we'll do that after the show, because we'll be like, we can't bring great programming like this to you with these phenomenal guests unless we have some sort of funding. So we'll get there, man.
Even though both Grant and Lindsay are doing this out of the goodness of their hearts.
Well, you're giving it away.
It's all right.
Mike and honestly, I spent Christmas bonuses to get him on here.
Well, that equals the same amount. So yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Zero. Yeah. Yeah. We contributed equally.
So Grant, I know I mentioned this before the show that Dave especially wanted to talk to you about this, because you made a presentation at Paracon that involved kind of a theory that you have. So Dave, why don't you go ahead and
sure. So Grant, if you remember when we were talking, I had brought that question up to you about that when we got asked about the difference between like catching an EVP on digital versus analog. And then, you know, how, you know, and that lady tried to stump us at the event that we did. And I thought it was really interesting that you had mentioned the fact that you could take media like a VHS tape or a cassette tape and just leave it in an environment and then go back and play that tape, and that you would actually have things on the tape. And, yep. You know, that kind of, and I haven't done it yet. Only just because we haven't been on an investigation where I can. But I'm going to do that. But then that led us down to get to the point where we started to discuss global consciousness. And so for a little while, I would like you to share your views on some, you know, and kind of going down that same path. I mean, if you want to touch a little bit on the whole concept of being in a place that has active energy, and the fact of leaving like a material there, like a cassette tape, and the possibility of that activity imprinting onto that media, and then kind of transition that into like the conversation that we were having at Paracon about global consciousness, which regretfully you and I were having a good time with it, and I think some of the people right up front were too, but I think the rest of everybody else was kind of like, where is he going with this? Man, I don't even know what's going on back here. What does the term global consciousness mean? And I'm like, oh, like, I'm excited as hell. I'm like, woo, yeah, we're getting into some stuff that I want to talk about, you know?
Well, that's a lot. Let's see. So, yeah, I mean, we've done the days of magnetic media are numbered, which I'm very sad about. You know, I don't like using digital recorders. I like analog better. It just, there's something about that magnetic media that just produces a better EVP. And to me, I can't even rationalize in my head. I mean, it's all weird and paranormal, but how does a voice end up on a digital recorder that we didn't hear? Because a digital recorder is simply a digital representation of the sound at that moment. All I can think of is that it's able to pick up a larger frequency and somehow change that into something we can hear, which doesn't make any sense.
Right.
You know, there are scientists out there studying bat calls that can bring stuff outside our hearing range and bring it into our hearing range in just about real time. So I don't think our digital voice recorders are doing that. But the analog stuff is great because not only is it picking up what you hear on the magnetic media, but the magnetic media itself is impressionable. And like I said, like you said, we've done situations where you put a VHS tape. Well, you put a Memorex 90-minute tape out there,
yeah,
and you just leave it. And it really kind of started when we put them in graveyards and stuff or public places like Gettysburg, where you think people would steal a recorder, but they're not going to steal. They're less likely to steal a tape if it's just sitting there.
Right.
And sure enough, we heard full-scale battles and cannons going off and horses and things like that. And then, you know, that spills over to VHS, and you can put that under your pillow and sleep on that pillow for a month or so. And and pull that tape out and watch it, and you'll see some messed up stuff. If it doesn't work the first time, just keep doing it. It's like anything paranormal. Sometimes it doesn't. There's just the factors aren't there to make it happen. There's a lot of that going on. If it's magnetic media, it's impressionable without the device. Talking about global consciousness, well, that's what I've been doing lately. Is I'm very comfortable with my current system of kind of cataloging activity. You know, there's intelligent. I break everything down into the four categories. There's an intelligent haunting. There's residual. There's poltergeist, and then there's inhuman. Yep. Okay, and inhuman sounds terribly evil, but it's not. Like an angel is an inhuman. It's anything that hasn't walked the earth in human form. Intelligence, a dead person. Residual is just captured energy that's replaying itself. There's no intelligence there. And then there's poltergeist, which is anything that's caused by a living person. So I'm very comfortable with that. And I'm not saying I'm a pro, but I've got my head wrapped around it so that I'm not surprised really by any situation, or I always have a place to go or something to try or a potential answer. So what I've done lately is I've taken just the concept of a ghost being a dead person that we can interact with and closing that book and putting it on the shelf, removing that as a possible explanation for what these things are. So I'm forcing myself to think outside the box. And of course, we thought of like time slips where I'm not actually seeing a ghost from the past. I'm seeing a wrinkle in time, and I'm seeing that person living their life back in the day. There are things like doppelgangers that don't, you know, which is technically caused by a living person. So a poltergeist. But there's all this crazy stuff. And so I close the book, I put it on the shelf, and I think, what else can it be? And I'm trying to find that lowest common denominator. Stop laughing, Lindsay.
She's laughing with you.
So I started thinking, okay, what if we were all somehow connected? And there's some research being done on this, the global consciousness. There was a university, I got to remember the name of it, which one it was, but a university that started, I think it was Princeton, started an experiment where they had these boxes that would randomly generate numbers. They would generate random numbers. And so they would put these in different situations, and these random numbers would start to be more, well, less and less random. And then all of a sudden something large or unexplainable would happen, and then they go back to being random. For instance, all these boxes around New York City started getting more, less and less random, and then 9/11 happened, and then they went back to being random. Same with the tsunami over in the Middle East and stuff. India. So there was something going on there, and that made me think, okay, what about animals? They kind of know to clear out before there's a natural disaster. And then I started thinking, okay, well, what about animals' instinct? How do birds know to fly south and all this stuff? How do they know to do X, Y, and Z? How do we know to do that stuff? And then I started thinking, okay, well, if every time we learn or experience something, that gets stored somewhere that we're all subconsciously can access, you know, maybe there's something like that going on. And I found the global consciousness concept, which is that we are all connected somehow by consciousness. Now, imagine, if you will, like the internet, where the global consciousness would be the quote-unquote internet, while we're all computers attached to the internet. So everything this computer experiences is saved on the internet. Not in reality, but in my example. I would be able to access that internet for information. And the faster my connection, the easier I could get that information. Now imagine if, as a person being that quote unquote computer, that everything I learn and everything I experience is saved on the internet, so to speak, or in the global consciousness. what would that file look like? It wouldn't be a stack of papers. It wouldn't be a volume of books. It wouldn't be a photo gallery. It would be me. I am the culmination of everything I've learned and done. That's what I am. So if you wanted to see that file, you would see me. And you would be able to interact with it, ask it questions, and get answers, because that's part of who I am. So if we all, if everything that's ever been alive and is connected on this planet, or who knows, I'll get into that, is stored somewhere, that could explain a lot about the paranormal. Now, I'm not saying that this explains everything that's paranormal. I think that it could explain some instances of the paranormal, or it could explain it all. I don't know yet. I'm still muddling through it. There are some things that I haven't figured out yet. For example, I'm walking around my house, and there's Dead Uncle Fred skating by, and I say, hi, Fred, and he goes, hey, what's up, and then disappears. Okay, did I actually interact with my dead Uncle Fred, or did I somehow access his file from the global consciousness? Right?
Yep.
I don't know. Now, think about people like Chip Coffee. I'm not a psychic medium by any means, but he might have a T1 connection where we all have dial-up, you know? So he's not – I mean, he'll sit there and tell you – I've never had him read me, just a professional courtesy. But I've been read by others, and they kind of look around, some of them, and they're talking. It really looks like they're talking to my ancestors or whoever's around me, and getting the answers about me. There's no way they could know that. But are they really talking to my grandfather, my grandmother, my uncle? Or are they accessing those files? You know what I mean? Yeah. Either one of those sources could have the information. Okay? I prefer to think that it's global consciousness, because then my grandfather's still rocketing around the cosmos like he should be, doing whatever we do when we die. He's not being interrupted to come tell me to buy a house or not, or something stupid like that. You know what I mean? Or I'm going to meet my mystery man. You know, as people say, you're going to meet a tall, dark, and handsome man. But that's what people go for. You know what I mean? You think your grandfather's coming down from the cosmos to tell you you're going to meet a handsome man on the corner of Fifth and Vine? No.
No.
Exactly.
I hope not.
Now, let's see. Going above and beyond that, that would could explain away doppelgangers. You name it. Even – okay, here we go. So if we're connected to everything that's ever lived on this planet, for example, let's keep it within those confines. I don't know if I want to go there yet. Hang on. So have you ever been doing something, or have you ever done something that you didn't remember learning how to do?
Yes.
Or you just knew? Like, I did a lot of plumbing that I was never taught. I just knew it.
And it felt familiar.
Right. And I wonder if that's part of that was learned before. And honestly, since the Industrial Revolution, you know, history books and school will tell you that, you know, once we did basically the assembly line, you know, or interchangeable parts, that boom, that's how we started really going crazy in this technological advancement that we're at. But I also think that was just the floodgates to allow – we now had the tools in our hands to do what the collective knowledge that has been coming from all mankind. So now think of how much technical knowledge we've learned since 1850, right? Look at how we've advanced. I mean, we learned how to fly. We've landed on the moon, you know. Computers that fill the room now are on our wrist. Right. Like, this is going at an exponential rate. And I think it's part of that, that we're learning. And also the fact that the internet is kind of a metaphor for what is really out there. So it makes it easier to share information. And I'm babbling. I'm trying to make sense, guys. There's a lot in my head. So here's something to consider. If we can access dead Uncle Fred, I can't, but if we can, why couldn't we access our ancient ancestor that's hairy and ape-like and walks around? Is Bigfoot really there? Is that why we can't find him? because it's just there's something going on in those locations that allows us to tap into that file more easily. I know it's a little bit out there, but hey, we're playing around. It's a mental exercise. Now, here's another one. What if this was somewhat localized? So global consciousness for us on Earth is everyone who's lived on this planet is sharing consciousness. Not necessarily willingly. We don't know how to do it, but we're doing it. Now, what if you sent an astronaut off towards another planet? The further he gets from Earth, would he lose that ability to dive into the global consciousness? And if he landed on an alien planet, would he then start to assimilate their global consciousness? What about, this is just, I'm riffing here, okay? So bear with me. What if, like, there were aliens outside our planet? Lindsay will tell us if there are or aren't. What if they're around our planet, okay? And now when we're sleeping, we tap into their global consciousness and see them doing their things or walking around, and we consider it an abduction. You know, we don't know. Could be anything. All an alien is a brother and sister from a different neighborhood.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Brother from another mother?
Brother from another mother, Gaia, that's all.
Right. With a heck of a lot better propulsion system than gasoline.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Taco Bell. So yeah. So if we you know, if you just start to chew on this long enough, it starts to make a lot of sense. Now, I'm not saying that it explains everything, but it gets the mind going. And this is what we need in the field. We're kind of stuck in this circular rotation of there's a lot more ghost hunters out there than paramedical investigators.
Amen to that. Yeah, we see it all the time. Right.
There's nothing wrong with being one or the other.
No.
The problem is ghost hunters are not going to advance the field. No. They're not going to comfort people.
No.
And like I said, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
If you're the kind of person that wants to go out there and have your own experience, or you want to go out there and just experience living history in bed and breakfast or whatever, you know, that's fine. You want to document it. You want to try to prove that there's an afterlife. It's not going to happen, but go ahead. But there are a lot less paranormal investigators who just want to help people. And if you're a paranormal investigator, you have to think outside the box. We have to advance this field. And I'm not saying advance it to the goal of proving that there's an afterlife or there's continuance. That's never been my goal. It's advancing it so that we can further help people feel comfortable, both living and dead. It's that simple. If we find out one day that the dead are only just manifestations of global consciousness, great. You don't have to, you know, it takes a lot of the pressure off helping them. I'm not saying we don't help them, but we can understand their situation better, and that, you know, that you're basically dealing with a copy of that person.
Right.
It helps you understand. So, like, you can have the best of both worlds. I always tell people when they come to me and say, I just want to know if my grandpa's okay. He passed away last – I don't know why I'm taking that accent. He passed away last spring. Anyway, I want to make sure that he's they'll be like, he passed away and I haven't heard anything. I haven't felt anything. I want to make sure he's okay. So my response is always, okay, if it means that much to you, let's assume that he can come to you, okay? Assume that he's able to do that at all. Maybe he's not able to. If he is, we have to assume the worst. If he can talk to you, what if it's extremely difficult and painful for him to come talk to you? We have to assume that.
Right.
Is it worth it to do that to your grandpa? And they always say no. So if it's global consciousness, we can have the best of both worlds. Grandpa can go off doing what he's doing, but we talk to Grandpa.exe over here, and you know, you can get that comfort and all that stuff. We won't know if he's okay. I always say, hey, no news is good news, you know.
Yep.
He's doing what he's supposed to do. So we have to think a little bit out of the box. And I've been trying to do this with TV companies, trying to get shows out there to help push the envelope a little bit. They're not interested in smart TV, so that's the bane of my existence right now. So we'll see. Anyway, I don't know if that answers your questions, but
Well, I think it's a great answer because I think that when the show is over with, there's going to be a whole bunch of people who are going to have to actually sit down and use the gray matter, and they're going to be like, holy crap, did you just hear what he just said?
Mind blown.
Like a giant plug-in thing, you know, and they might actually not pick up the remote control and turn the TV on for a half hour tonight, and if that happens, then we just won a small little fight.
Yes, exactly. So, exactly. You know, well, even then, here, it can even talk about past life.
Yes, right? I was hoping you would touch on that one.
So here's the thing. Like, I did past life regression once, and it was an awesome experience. I don't necessarily believe that I lived these past lives, but it was very vivid. Well, some of it was. It was all kind of like a – it started off kind of like a fuzzy black and white TV, and then all of a sudden it went boom in full color, and I could smell. I could see my hands. I had memories that weren't mine. This was like, whoa, this is incredible. But I know so many people who've told me that they're famous people through past life regression. Like, oh, I was Cleopatra in a past life. Yeah, well, so it's her and her and her. Only one of you could have been her, right? She can't be split among six people at the same time.
Right.
Unless there's something I don't know. But with the global consciousness, it can make sense that you've tapped into Cleopatra during a past life regression, and so you've experienced her life in a very vivid way. It doesn't diminish your experience. You're not Cleopatra, you know, no more than I'm not my father. You know what I mean? We're different people, so interesting stuff. They're all asleep.
So I got to ask you here. So past life regression, I'm totally interested in that, but we don't have time for it on the show this time, but you know, like, what was the experience like? I mean, did they put you into like a really deep hypnosis, and then you start having these like incredible visions, or?
So here's some advice. If you want to experience it, the hook or what to look for in someone to see if you even want to use them is if they require you to talk to them during it.
Okay.
Okay. If they want feedback, they're bogus.
Okay.
Or it's a method that I don't personally agree with. The reason I did it is because this person said, you're just going to lay on the floor and I'm just going to ask you questions.
Okay.
And I didn't have to say anything back. She didn't want to hear anything back from me. So I laid on the floor and she just kind of walked me through, you know, like a meditation.
Right.
And I'm not that kind of person. I don't get hypnotized. I have a hard time falling asleep. You know, I try to meditate, but I'm thinking about every little thought that flies by. But I was just relaxed, and you know, she painted a picture in my head, and she just kind of said things like, you know, okay, basically she was walking me down a corridor, and when the door opened, I would be in this past life. And that's when it was kind of fuzzy, and I saw a few different things, and then all of a sudden it got crazy, and she's like, what do you see? Like, look at your hands. She was asking the questions I didn't know what to ask.
Right.
And sure enough, it was incredibly vivid once I got there. But I wasn't like, there's no trickery. There was no pendulum or mind altering stuff going on. I don't do any of that anyway. But it was just kind of like a dream, but a super vivid dream. But I was aware of my surroundings at the same time. So, yeah, I recommend it. It was cool. I don't think that like mine, I don't think that you should take it as literally as most people do. Yeah. Just do it for the cool experience of having that vivid
of experiencing it. Yeah. Yeah. Just the experience itself. Yep.
And the more I analyze my experience, the more I see it as a kind of almost like a dream in the fact that, you know, it was still very vivid, but it was very metaphorical for real life situations. Once I stepped far enough away from it. Yeah. There you go.
Beautiful. Cool. So we have 7 minutes left. Lindsay, you've been sitting there quietly and patiently as we've ignored you. But I would like to end not only with the upcoming events for especially you and Grant or anybody on your roster, if you wanted to plug those as well. But one quick question, just to lightheartedly end the show. Can you tell me, in your experiences with Grant, what is the best and worst thing about working with him?
No, thanks.
Oh, man.
There is no best, and there's a lot of worst.
No, it's the complete opposite. There's no worse. Like, it's awesome getting to work with him because I feel like we've got a close relationship. We're like brother and sister. I mean, we always mess with each other. It's absolutely fun. But yeah, there's nothing bad about it. Everything is
Speak freely,
absolutely
Lindsay.
amazing. Everything is absolutely amazing. I get to learn from him, which is great, and I get to really just see him and interact with everybody and help, like being able to see and help everybody too, and like put their mind at ease. Like I think that's one of the best parts too, is when people come to him and they're genuinely concerned about something or curious, and they pick his brain, and you can see people either get absolute relief from something, or they're like, "Oh, okay, this makes so much sense," and like he's helped them. That I think is one of the best things. Be able to see him.
I agree because I actually watch your Twitter feed, Grant, and I see all these questions that people ask you. And some of them are, you answer them the best way you could possibly do so. But I mean, there's a lot of really good questions that people have. I mean, it's not a dig on anybody. It's just a lot of it I think is paranoia from watching the shows and whatnot. Everybody thinks that a knock on the wall is an instant demon.
Yep.
And whatnot. But I mean, there are a lot of people that have really good questions, and I really enjoy reading your answers, especially now that we have 280 characters instead of
Respect. We got
140.
a lot of characters now.
Know, hallelujah. There makes my job easy. It's really hard to talk about, existential stuff and
140
two
words or
cents.
less. 140
Yes,
characters or less. Yeah.
great.
Limit all the vowels. It'll be okay.
So Lindsay, why don't you give us a quick overview of where people can kind of see you and Grant coming up, if not for the entire year.
Grant or any of the other talent, they can go to centerstageevents.com and check out the website. I try to put up every event that people usually book talent for to appear at. I put their schedules up there for that. Any events that I have upcoming, I'll throw up on there as well. I do know that I'm gonna have Grant and both he and both Dustin Parry at the Battleship here in Wilmington, North Carolina, coming up in February, which is gonna be pretty cool. We're actually gonna have access to all 9 decks of the ship, which is amazing.
Nice.
And
We're gonna
then
get lost.
we probably will. I did. I got lost. And then I think the next one for Grant is March at the Rhodes Hotel. That's gonna be March 22nd and 23rd and 24th, I'm sorry, that they're gonna be doing for the Lost Limbs Foundation, which is great. It's a great charity. So
Yeah, I love
That
that.
is
It's gonna
really
be
awesome.
a cool event because it's gonna be very small. Not a lot of attendees. It's very intimate. And the charity helps provide prosthetics for kids that are missing limbs. And that's hard. Can think of how fast your kids go through shoes, and it has to be refitted and it's very expensive. So
Yeah. Yeah. So they're going to be there at the, they as in Chad Lindbergh and Grant are going to be there at the Rhodes Hotel in March to do that. So there's a lot of stuff coming up. I mean, not just with my company, but with others like Strange Escapes and whatnot that we all help out with. So
So center stage with an S. That's the key.
Center stage, yes, just like my
Yes.
last name,
Right.
center stage with an S.
I was going to say the same thing. I was just waiting for you to finish because I was like, it's center stage, and I know everybody's going to put a C in there. So, yeah.
Think about it, so
Yep.
it's hard to remember. But yeah.
Nice. All right. Sadly, we have about 1 minute left. Any final thoughts, Dave, Grant, Lindsay, on anything that maybe I didn't touch upon?
I just want to say thank you very much for being on tonight, guys. It was fantastic. I really appreciate you taking the time. And I totally, you and I are totally on the same wavelength with a lot of the stuff that you're doing and the whole global consciousness thing and the whole, I love that path that you're going down, and I would love to see that make it to an intelligent television program for the people that are there that are looking for that. There's a hole that needs to be filled there. There's a void that needs to be plugged into and get over the superficiality of TV today and put something on there for people whose IQ is starving for intelligent television.
Thank you. Thank you. I couldn't agree more. It's a tricky process. Unfortunately, reality TV is becoming less and less real and less intelligent. So the intelligence is in scripted. So that's the angle I'm taking. So we'll see.
Right.
Absolutely. So yeah, as a final thought, I just want to say, Grant, obviously thank you to you, both you and Lindsay.
Thank you.
I think I skipped over that part. But let me just leave with this last thought that, you know, like Lindsay, you met Dave and I at Paracon as well, and we got along instantly as well. So if you ever need any partners,
right,
you just let us know.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Lindsay left out the bad part, man. You don't want to be my assistant.
For none.
It's the smell. No, just kidding.
All right.
Mike and I
could
match you there if we wanted to. So,
yeah. So from all of us here at the Odyssey Files, want to wish, obviously, Grant and Lindsay, thank you. And everybody have a good night.
Thank you.
Yeah.